This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today our special guest is Josh Weingartner, Texas Cattle Feeders Association. Before that, let's check in with Gary Crawford reporting from Washington, D.C.
With commodity prices so incredibly high, some producers may not see the need of signing up for USDA safety net programs, ARC and PLC. However,
it's important that you get in and sign up whether you really feel like you need the coverage or not.
Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau says having those numbers of your expected production on file could help speed up any ad hoc disaster payments that might come about in the future. Ducheneau says right now, with only a few days left to sign up, producers have signed only 1.2 million agricultural risk coverage and price loss coverage contracts, and that is only
67% of our expected enrollment.
And the deadline to sign up for PLC and ARC, March 15th.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Josh Weingartner. Josh is with Texas Cattle Feeders Association. Hey, Josh, great to see you.
Hey, you too, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's winter, and it's dry. That is kind of a broken record we hear almost every year, right?
Oh, absolutely. It is cold.
And with the conditions like this does put some challenges for our feeders, especially with dry, dusty conditions in lots. But of course, it's something your members are well aware of, know how to handle.
Yeah, of course, our guys are really good at making sure that their animals are well taken care of as they're in the feed yard. You know, the one thing we're watching, though, is that as this drought continues, you know, what is the prognosis? What's the long-term forecast for the cattle herd? You know, are we going to continue to have cattle to place in the feed yard? So that's always something that we're looking at as we get into these drought situations.
And as they move through the feedlot, we're moving them in for processing. That's been a hot topic, processing, and maybe the lack of capacity nationwide. Is that something you're watching?
Oh, absolutely. We are watching all the efforts that are going on, both from the producer-led side, people indicating around the country that they want to start something different, a packing facility that has the potential to benefit producers, and that's not one of the big four packing plants. And the government has come out with some proposals, some financial incentives released this week, to incentivize that production. But unfortunately, some of those are tailored toward the small and very small. And while those are good for local communities, they don't really have the capacity. There's not enough there that's really going to impact the overall lack of capacity in the country. So it's good for a local area, but it may not be good for the overall industry. So we really need to also have those mid-sized packing plants that have enough throughput to get through the cattle that are here, provide an alternative to the current system, and that provides incentives back to those producers that want to work with those new plants.
We start talking about plants, though. I mean, when we talk about the majority of our plants, they're years old, using systems that were in place 30, 40, 50 years ago. So will we see some changes, some updated technology with some of these new processing plants?
I think so. I mean, like as you said, the plants are multiple decades old. Now, they have been updating the insides of those plants with the new new technology, new equipment at times. But I think some of these that come online, if we can really get these mid-size packing plants up and running, they have the potential to bring in some new technologies, new equipment that's going to be better for the employees. It's going to be better for the producer. So I'm encouraged by that. But we're also in that part of the cattle cycle, like I mentioned before, with this drought, that numbers are starting to come down. So this investment in packing capacity is coming at a time when the supply is about to go lower. So it's going to create some other challenges from that aspect.
Speaking of challenges, seems like about every 4 years you can expect the waves of WOTUS to change. And we're talking about waters of the U.S. And it seems as though just about the time you get used to the direction that WOTUS is going, we have a change in administration, and it changes the direction of that. WOTUS has changed again. What are you watching?
Yeah, so the Obama administration first proposed the Waters of the U.S. Rules in response to a Supreme Court ruling. Those were held at bay to some degree, and then when the Trump administration came in, those rules were changed. They vacated the Obama-era rules. They passed their own set of rules on WOTUS that were much better and made a lot more sense from the landowner perspective. But unfortunately, this past year, a federal court placed they vacated those rules. The Biden administration has then since rolled them back. So now they're re-proposing a new set of rules because something has to be done to comply with the Supreme Court ruling. And we're watching that to see, are we going to have a shift back to the way that the Obama rules were written? Or is it going to be something in between Obama and the Trump rule? We just don't, we're still trying to get our hands around what they're actually going to say. We've done a tremendous amount of education with people around the country, with the regulators on this. They've had a couple of bad beats. So I'm not sure how much they want to push this. I'm hoping that they work with us, and when I say us, I mean the landowner community, in advance, help give us some input, and then maybe we can craft a set of rules that do what needs to be done from the conservation side, water quality side, without impairing what happens to landowners' rights.
Just seems this could have all been avoided had Congress just defined what Waters of the U.S. was. Any chance of that happening?
Who knows? I don't think so. It's with everything else going on in Congress right now, I don't see that being a hot button for them to tackle, and it could become very a very confrontational issue.
We'll wait and see what comes out on WOTUS. Know you'll be watching that and quite a few other things. If we want to keep up with TCFA, how do we do it online?
It's at tcfa.org.
And you can find out membership information there. You've also got the market information. So good to see you. Wish you the best here in 2022.
Great. Thanks, Tony. You too.
Josh Weingartner, Texas Cattle Feeders Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
If you're big into baling and want the heaviest, densest, most consistent large square bales possible, you'll be glad to know Heston by Massey Ferguson delivers with the all-new 2370 Ultra High Density Large Square Baler. The world's first Class 8 baler designed to hammer out the heaviest bales in the industry faster than ever before. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24-7 service for your 24-7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Representative Austin Scott from Georgia, a member of the House Ag Committee.
Ms. Ford, Ms. Rogers, in your testimonies and as we've heard today here, you both mentioned increases in the cost of production. Ms. Ford, you referenced that most producers are expecting 25 to 40% increases in inputs due to higher fertilizer and other costs. Fertilizer is the number one issue I hear back home. Ms. Rogers, you note in your annual study on the peanut cost of production from the Center for Rural Prosperity and Innovation at Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College, a significant spike in the cost of production for peanuts, a 22% increase in the cost to produce a ton of peanuts. Now, Mr. Edgington, when we want to get down to the heart of things back home, sometimes we say it's time to shuck the corn. And you wrote a letter to Mosaic. Your association wrote a letter to Mosaic because Mosaic had requested additional tariffs be placed on products that would compete with them. Is that correct?
That's correct. We've been in correspondence with Mosaic about their tariff application with the International Trade Commission. That's correct.
I want to read you something. This is from this company's annual report to shareholders. And if I'm not mistaken, they control about 80% of some of the markets. Is that correct inside the United States?
They are currently at about that level on the finished product, yes.
A monopoly. Full year revenues up 42%. Stronger pricing more than offset volumes. Gross margin up 200%. Adjusted earnings before income tax, a fiscal year record up 129%. And I think that what Americans need to realize is the monopolization of the inputs in our food supply to our farmers is what's leading to the majority of the discussion right here, is that the input costs are going up faster than the markets can absorb them. And it's leading to a tremendous amount of food price increases. Now, the department, they requested the tariffs be put in place in February of 2021. Do those record profits sound to you like they would be coming from a company that actually needed protections from competition?
Do you mind if I don't answer that part of your question, but I would like to address part of the whole issue?
Yes, sir.
Because I've been more involved in fertilizer than I thought it would maybe have to be other than on my farm in this process. And one of the things we've learned in the process is they do not look at this table as their customer. They are selling to the CHSs and GrowMarks of the world. That's their distributing network. And so our pushback on Mosaic or CF Industries on nitrogen fertilizer has been a surprise to them because we've never pushed back before because of the process and the engagements we've had. Mosaic has had tremendous profits. Now, they have reasons that they tell us as to why they were competing against foreign countries subsidizing their fertilizer, and that's what they did. They represent about 55% of the phosphate rock inside of the United States, but they represent 80% of the DAP that we are applying to our fields. And so when you have that type of control over the majority of the market, there becomes lots of discussion around the profits that they're making.
If I may, this control is not limited to fertilizer, though. We're seeing increased monopolization, whether it be seed or any other type of input cost. And then what you see in some cases is like Communist China, where they stepped in and they bought Syngenta. And so I think, Mr. Chairman, we've got a lot of work to do in making sure not only that foreign countries don't own our ag input supply, but that not any individual company inside America controls too much of our ag inputs. And if we could get that right, we'd have significant competition in the input market, and we'd have more fair pricing to our farmers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
It's that time of year you've been waiting for. Commodity Classic is back, March 10th through 12th in New Orleans. Join the Sorghum Checkoff for a learning center session, Finding the Sweet Spot, combining precision agriculture and conservation to build a sustainable and diverse farming landscape. Don't miss this cross-commodity, cross-sectoral collaboration with Pheasants and Quail Forever and Cotton Incorporated. Register online at CommodityClassic.com or listen to it live here. Sorghum, the smart choice.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Josh Weingartner with Texas Cattle Feeders Association.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
2021 was the first year of USDA's pandemic cover crop program, which basically gave eligible producers who planted winter cover crops followed by insured spring planted crops a $5 an acre discount off of their crop insurance premiums. In that first season, farmers signed up over 12 million acres of cover crops and got over $59.5 million worth of crop insurance discounts.
My personal opinion is that we should see that number and possibly even more for the 2022 program.
Barsha Bunger runs the USDA's Risk Management Agency. She told reporters Thursday that some changes in the 2022 version of the program should bring in more producers and more acres. Last year, the program only included winter cover crops followed by an insured spring planted crop. This year, it will
also include summer cover for fall planted insured crops.
But Bunker says the catch is you have to do what you need to do to apply for the program by March 15th. Gary Crawford, Washington.